Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sungai Nation, QT and Sungai with you here on another Friday afternoon, blustery as it is in the Pacific Northwest. Some show notes for you today. If you're looking for wrestling tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. APW in Daly City, California. Ring of Honor in Chicago Ridge, Illinois. NSCW in Hardin, Kentucky. And Warriors of Wrestling in Brooklyn, New York. Tomorrow night, CWA in Tucson, Arizona, PCW in Oroville, California, SCPW in Oceanside, California, MFW in Sanford, Florida, SICW in Current Dallet, Illinois, PPW in Flushing, Michigan, and SCW in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Well, QT, I'm going to place a call to our guest today, so bear with us as we make that call.
Oh, okay. That's very good.
You have reached the voicemail box of 5.
Okay. Guess he wasn't there to take the call. We'll try again here in just a moment, QT.
Oh, okay. Boy, I hope we can get through to Dan because I have some very good questions and research that I need to ask him. Yes.
Now, think very carefully when you say good. It's not equating to anything related to who's on first sports cards, is it?
No, nothing connected to Devin South Park Bellinger. I'd say some of my questions are up there and as existential and fulfilling to the questions that I have asked on numerous occasions to Casey Carlisle, some of our top-ranked shows ever.
That poor man, no wonder he didn't answer. All right, let's try it one more time.
You have reached the voicemail box of...
Well, looks like QT will have to try again in just a few moments. But while we wait for that, I would like to point out that next week, not only will local fans be able to catch SCW returning to La Poblanitas, I will be making my Gouge debut next week. I'm hugely excited for that. It's my only dream in life, and it's coming to fruition. Well, QT, if anyone's going to be in the area of North Carolina next week, they can see my Gouge debut, my first time ever there.
What? Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners where you will be departing this state? Is it at Portland or Seattle? And will you be catching the red-eye flight? And who is rumored to be your opponent? That's huge. Would it be Seymour Snot?
I am not even sure what I will be doing at Gouge yet. I have not been told specifics, but I do know that I will be there. And everything else would be kind of creepy, stalkerish if I gave that information out. What if stomping South Park Billinger Bragg Sharp came and was like peeking around the corners at me and trying to follow me. Be a little bit weird.
Well, you see, son guy, we could probably have this conversation in private. I can see where you would be worried about stalker-esque people at airports. However, I need to give you a care package to give to Seymour Snot. As you know, if you hand carry this in your luggage, it cuts down on my overhead shipping costs.
It really would, yes.
Yes, now it probably won't be a fruit pie. I think they check for fruit pies in luggage. Am I right?
I believe they might consider the central part of that liquid.
Yes, a semi-liquid. I've been into some that are pretty much semi-liquid. Yes.
Yes.
Co-laced, if you will. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, would you mind carrying a care package for Seymour Snot?
I would not mind at all. But I will point out that the event next week is Malloween, and it is being held at Draftline Brewing Company in Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. The main event, Seymour Snot, the aforementioned recipient of a care package, versus his arch nemesis, Jacob Hammermeyer, in a Four Corners Trick or Treat match.
Oh, now that Jake Hammermeyer is a rough individual. Maybe not quite as, how would you say, cold-hearted and all business-like as Dan Severn was in the WWE, but maybe not that cold-hearted and focused. Yes.
I see. Now, also on the show next week for Gouge, Jimmy Jack Funk Jr. versus Mickey Gambino. Juan Jeremy and Waylon Mays versus Team Sexy in a tag team match. Plus, you'll see Head Rush, Otto Schwanz, Snooty Fox, Alice De Angel, and Chaco de Panama.
Wow, Chaco de Panama. Now, that's a nice name. Yes. Rumor is that he belongs to a Northwest Pacific Indian tribe. Yes.
I see. Well, QT, let us try one more time here to get a hold of Dan Severn.
Oh, okay. Let me cross my fingers. Or my toes.
Probably
right. It's hard to do in Converse.
Yo, this is Dan.
Hello, Mr. Severn. It is Sign Guy and QT Vokes from Turnbuckle Turmoil. How are you this afternoon?
Turnbuckle Turmoil, yes, I knew we had a 6 o'clock interview here, and I'm sorry I missed because my GPS was going off at the time. Who are the hosts of tonight?
It is Sign Guy and my co-host QT Vokes with you.
Yes, Sign Guy and QT Vokes.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. I'll be on a straightaway here momentarily. Guy. QT. You said Sun Guy at QT?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. We'll run with that then.
All right. Well, my first question this time around on our show with you is I understand there is a book project that you have been working on. Could you tell us a little bit about what you have going on with the book?
Well, the book actually it came out kind of over the July 4th weekend, and I guess within just a few weeks, I was told that it reached Amazon.com's number one bestseller. So that's a good thing that I have not set up a single I've not set up a single book site or book tour yet. So it's been just a little too busy, but I kind of figure, well, that'll kind of just play itself out as things kind of progress on. But, you know, it's the title of the book is called The Realist Guy in the Room. I did not come up with that title. The gentleman that helped organize the book, a gentleman by the name of Ian Douglas, well, first off, he said I had way too much content because I've been I've been basically writing a book. I've been writing a book for probably over a decade at least. But I'll say that I started making certain notes or journals, things of that nature, for probably the last 30 or more years. I used to write down stories and things of that nature because I simply knew that somewhere down the road I was going to end up being an old guy, and then I would not remember some of these stories, so I just started running those stories. But as I said, I have so much content, I literally have a file with over 1,000 pages in it. But, you know, for example, on one piece of paper, there might be 3 or 4 different little paragraphs, and each paragraph only maybe 3 to 5 sentences, but it's just enough to remind me as to what that was, kind of a time, an era, things of that nature. And you'll give an example. One might be like Leipzig, East Germany, Russian negotiations, lots of vodka. And those 4 or 5 sentences right there, probably a minimum of a 15 to 20 page story. When you think about it, there isn't East Germany anymore. It's gone. But there was at one point in time, and then I was at it not just once, but there were a couple of different occasions representing the United States and competing against a lot of other international teams during my amateur wrestling career.
Now, a lot of books have been written, of course, in the last 15 to 20 years on professional wrestling and MMA and amateur wrestling. Were you a big fan of reading some of those books? Had you read very many of them before writing your own?
No, I really had not. I read a lot of, I'll say, magazines, or basically it's more or less kind of a short synopsis of, different people. Because, you know, during my amateur wrestling career, I read a lot of the different great athletes, amateur wrestlers. I went to their various clinics, and there's moves that were named after them, and I did utilize some of those moves, but even was fortunate enough to even be on the mats going against some of those same men. So that's during my amateur days. I probably watched more abundantly my professional wrestling than viewing was probably more during my junior high years, maybe a couple years earlier than that. You know, having 4 other brothers, one older and a couple more on the other side, it's like, you'd be in the living room, you'd be watching professional wrestling, and then all of a sudden it's a roughhousing, and sure, why not grab your brother and play spit a few times and body slam him on the couch? You know, so I'll say that we were reenacting those types of things inside my parents' living room, and I'll just say it's just coincidental how it actually finally led to a career many years later.
You mentioned the book hitting the Amazon bestsellers list. Are there any plans in place at this point in time for a follow-up book?
There will be. What I was saying there with Ethan, just kind of going through all the material stuff like this. He says, well, let's make a good impression. He says, let's go after the biggest demographics. Let's go after professional fitness. Let's go after mixed martial arts. Let's go after your amateur wrestling career. Go just touch a little bit on your childhood growing on up, a little bit of your amateur wrestling, and then a little bit of what you are more currently doing. But, I'll just say that kind of scratches the surface of content. And, that he says easily I can follow that up with book number 2 and book number 3.
Another thing that you've been working on, to my understanding, is a very big MMA show that's coming up that looks to be going to be something that could change the landscape of MMA. Do you want to tell us what you have going on upcoming with MMA?
Yeah, you bet. The name of my company is Danger Zone. And I started that company, I think, right around that 95, maybe 96, and I started Nature's Own MMA company. And it was, doing the whole sparring era. So I've had to, deal with all the athletic commissioners and things of that nature. You know, I had to grow the sport, had to go to a lot of meetings, had to do a lot of politicking. And I'll say that I think that I had quite well. At the time, I probably had the very best rules put together, and I was doing things that other no-holds-barred promotions were doing. For example, blood work. You know, here I am running shows, and I'm being told by athlete after athlete, well, we don't have to have blood work for this promotion or that promotion. I'm like, well, I go, that's fine for them. I go, if you will, for myself, go, well, why? And I go, well, I said, think about it this way. I go, I really hope if you fight for my promotion, I really hope that you are winning. If you are winning, more than likely your opponent should be leading. And would you not want to know that your opponent's blood has been tested and that he has been cleared of any HIV, Hep B, Hep C? And before you answer that question, if you answer anything other than, yeah, I would like to know what he's been cleared of it, I would say that what you really want to be going out and playing is Russian roulette, is what you want to be doing. So I was a real stickler about the blood work and not having guys, not compete, and then also, dealing with the athletes that were no shows on top of that, because the state really was not stepping in and doing anything with it. So I took matters in my own hands, charging them basically an entry fee that they would receive back at the conclusion of the show, as long as you showed up and you fulfilled your end of the bargain.
Now, of course, you've ran the gamut, amateur wrestling, professional wrestling, and MMA. Is the commission, or at least the commission at the time you started in trying to get the blood work a priority, was the MMA commissioners as tough or maybe less tough than what professional wrestling had at that point?
No, I would say, professional wrestling, what was it, basically true about what was it, mid-80s, or was it a little bit later than that Vince basically exposed the industry in the entertainment, and you guys would probably be able to talk about that time frame, but, by the time I actually jumped on board, there were only a few states even left that were being regulated, that professional wrestling was being regulated. And to me, I think it's wrong. I still think that a professional wrestler today should have at least once a year a basic physical, and they should also have blood work, because there are a number of matches where these athletes are going out there and they are getting a color in their matches. They are getting a tail cut, or whether that would be intentional and or unintentional. So I still think that they should fall underneath the aspect of, yeah, they are physically capable of going out to perform with things, because you'd be smart to tell me you guys that blood pressure that is way into the red, and that physique they once had has now fallen into a stuff.
Well, having just renewed my professional wrestling license in the state of Washington, I can tell you that up here in the Pacific Northwest, the states do require blood work, and they do keep the results on file. So
that is fantastic. But I would say that there's probably so few of states that actually enforce stuff like that. But I'm all for it. It should be done.
Agreed. Now, your involvement with MMA goes back to sort of the very early days of the popularity of MMA, getting in sort of on the ground floor at UFC. A lot of people really credit the Antonio Inoki versus Muhammad Ali fight in the late 70s as laying the groundwork for what would become MMA. Are you a proponent of that theory, or do you think that's kind of stretching things?
Well, at the time that the match actually took place, I never saw it. You know, I was it was still during my amateur wrestling career. I was never aware of it, but then I was kind of consumed with my amateur wrestling career. So, you know, I probably am not the best person to, you know, give an opinion on that one way or the other. I think that I would say, though, for a number of years, though, I would say that there was always that wonderment of which skill set or which sport represents the best fighting system. And, you know, I think that classic of the boxer versus the wrestler. But at the same token, wrestling doesn't exactly teach you striking aspects of it. So it's a wrestler can control an opponent. Wrestling teaches you body positioning, body control. You know, because I say that a lot of time about, you know, a lot of people want to, in the more modern era, they want to know, you know, out of the submission grappling, jiu-jitsu aspects, or the Muay Thai, boxing, kickboxing, or the amateur wrestling, which do you think has the better elements to it? And to me, they all play an important role. But, you know, me, I'm going to be really biased towards, I say that the amateur wrestling, especially Greco-Roman wrestling, probably best suits as the glue that holds everything else together. You still need to know how to defend strikes. You may not know how to, don't need to know how to really be great offensively with it, but you need to know how to block a couple things as you move in. Two clinches, you know, your opponent's got to be within arm's reach in order to strike you. You got to be within legs reach in order to kick you. So, and then the kick, they'd be foiled. I mean, I made a career of trying to time it, stay outside of reach so that as they shoot those different legs that can also, they recoil back to you so that they can try them off again and then they recoil back. I'll just follow them back here to go into the clinch, the takedown, or jam and the opponent up against the cage wall. And now, welcoming them to my world of amateur wrestling. Again, you will then see the fight.
The current TNA World Champion, Bobby Lashley, has become sort of a modern version of what you accomplished over 20 years ago, where he is not only a professional wrestling champion of the world, but he also goes into MMA events and competes actively in MMA at the same time. Have you followed Bobby Lashley very much to form an opinion on what you think of his MMA and wrestling careers?
Dan?
It looks like he dropped the call.
Oh, no. We'll definitely have to try to get him back, yes.
All right. I will give him a quick call back, see if we can't get him back on.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that, gentlemen. We went to a tower area. They had a drop call.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not a problem.
But I don't know at what point where I lost you guys at.
You were talking about your opinions on amateur wrestling kind of laying the groundwork for MMA.
Well, no, I just, well, that doesn't lay the groundwork. It's the glue that holds everything together. You need striking. You need submissions. And amateur wrestling does not teach that. But amateur wrestling, as I said earlier, it does provide you with that body position. It teaches you with body control. I mean, honestly, I could take a high-level wrestler on a collegiate basis, so international basis, especially when I looked into referee wrestling. And with no skill set in striking, no skill set in submission, and throw them out there, and they will do well for themselves. I mean, I'm a perfect example of that. I only trained for 5 days, an hour and a half a day. Never trained in a single strike, never trained in a single submission. And I walked into the world of no holds barred. And I did just fine. Just think of actually getting a training camp. How much better I would have been.
Absolutely. One of the people active right now in both wrestling and MMA is the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Bobby Lashley. He not only is the world champion, or was the world champion until last week of TNA, but he also is active. Yeah, he is in MMA actively at the same time as his professional wrestling career, much like you did 20 years prior. Have you followed his career very much to be able to form an opinion on what he's doing in both MMA and pro wrestling?
I'll say to a certain extent. I mean, I get weekly newsletters about the combination of professional wrestling, and I always get all the UFC highlights. Information that goes out. So, I definitely am aware. It's not easy doing multiple things like that. I go back to my old career where I was just when I was still doing amateur wrestling matches and transitioning into a professional wrestling career. And then all of a sudden I'm jumping into this, I was going to Japan doing the UWFI. And so now I've got these three different things going to the mix. I jumped into a tough tank contest, so yeah, something different, yet type of a product, and then eventually leading to professional wrestling on a much larger scale, working with the WWF. And the unique part is while being under contract with the UFC, I was not exclusive, so I could work for anybody I wanted. Not being under exclusive contract with the WWF, I could work for anybody I wanted. I was working for 35 different promoters in the NWA alone, and then not exclusive to them. So there's at one point in time, you had Brock Lesnar was out there. Well, I should say that was Brock, but his mouthpiece out there, regaling in the aspect of what the BC Carpe, what he's doing, and I think at the time, Brock, he had 8 matches in his entire career. His 9th match was his most recent match with Mark Hunt. And I think in just 1 year alone, while I was under contract with the WWE, filled my obligation to them, the NWA, and anyone else that was booking me, I think I did 8 matches, cage matches alone in that same 1 year. So it's kind of going, well, if you guys are really impressed with him, you should really be impressed with what I did. But at the same token, it's like, well, I don't have that stage that Brock has, or I should say that Paul Heyman has for him. That he gets to say that in front of millions of people.
Well, at this point in time, QT is standing by. I know that he also has some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Shoot away there, QT.
Well, hello, Dan. How you doing?
Well, I've seen the USA for my Chevrolet. It's an old commercial, and it's overrated. I'm actually in transit right now to Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow,
from Coal Water, Michigan. I have a son that's getting married this coming Wednesday.
Oh, you've got a son that's going to get married. Can we ask how old he is?
He is 30.
Oh, very nice. Well, that's a good age to start marriage. Very nice.
Well, okay. I think you see it a lot more of these millennials. They are waiting a little bit longer to get married. Of course, there has been some advice for myself there to, you know, don't rush into things. I say even live together for a little bit, because you may not like the way that that your significant other squeezes that toothpaste, or the fact that they leave their underwear later on the ground and stuff like that. You might want to live together to see, is it really, are they as wonderful as you think they are?
A good clue to a nice lady, a wife, is how good they can cook an apple pie. Yes.
Is that your criteria?
Yes. Yes. Well, Dan, in 2004, you created the Danger Zone Defensive Tactics, where you travel around the country training law enforcement officers about various ground techniques to protect themselves from a possible hostile situation. My question is, have you heard back from any police officers that took your course that said that your course may have saved their lives?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Not only just from that course itself, but through how I teach it, my amateur wrestling, for what I teach it, my mixed martial arts. I had an email that came in, I'm going to say probably about a year or so back. A gentleman, he resides in California. He comes out of the blue, he goes, and he's something like, oh, this stuff, you'll never remember me, but I was in one of your amateuristic camps when I was in high school. And he goes, he says, I'm a fireman out, and again, I forget what city he's a fireman out in California. And he said, there's a house that was blazing, but he heard the cry of a child. And he goes, and this home was pretty well engulfed in flames, and yet he still ran into this burning building. And you know, he got to the child, and he goes, and he goes, the ceiling and stuff like that is coming down around them. And basically, at one point in time, he got knocked down by a timber. And I don't know why he said but for some reason he goes, right then and there, he says. Heard some of my quotes about never giving up, about, you know, if you get taken down, you get right back up, you dust yourself up, you get right back up to get. I'm just going to summarize it. He said, those words you spoke, he goes, I don't know why they came to me right today, because it had been years since that. He goes, I want to thank you for saving my life. And he goes, and the life of that child. He goes, obviously, I got out. I did receive some 33 birds. He goes, the child made it out safely and stuff like that. But he says, I would have given up. So that I take to heart. When I teach law enforcement, I teach correction officers. I work with air marshals, border patrol, military, and even more recently, I worked with the world's largest private security company. I'm not sure if they get the exact. Ironically, though, guys, I have never met any of the above. You know, but, yeah, I'll say, typically, I'll say, well, I do have a deadly do-right chin, and I have a mustache, so I do look like I probably was one. But the reality is, my real gift in this world is I understand physical mechanics. If you actually talk to some of my guys in my training facility, they'll even probably tell you that Dan Severn is probably one of the laziest waiters that they have ever met, because I know positions so well, I will make them work. I'll make them fold my body. I'll make them exert the energy. And it'll take its toll on them way before it will ever come close to taking a toll on me. That frustrates them a lot of times, is that I can go out there cold and I can just roll with them for just, you know, minutes on end and not be exhausted the way that they're exhausted. But that's, again, for me to understand body position. I know I've used the skeletal system. I've been teaching the sport of wrestling for 19, well, I've been teaching sport of wrestling this year. So it is 69 by 71. By 71, I was teaching. So that's a lot of years to be holding your skills. And all I've done is, you know, when you're asking about the law enforcement class, what did I know about law enforcement at the time? I did nothing. But I had a national training company contact me, and they said, can you help us develop a ground defensive tactics program? I go, I don't know. I don't know what I did not know what even existed in law enforcement. So for almost the first year, I took a lot of classes. I took all the Krav Maga, Control Force, Survival Force, TPCT, CDT, you name it. I took it, and I made all these notes, what I liked about it, what I disliked about it. But then during break time and lunch time, when I was talking to the various officers, I found out on average, at best, on an annual basis, these officers, after they came out of the academy, only trained one day a year that it is mandatory. Meaning that one day they go over everything from usage of the baton, usage of the taser, if you're state allows it, you know, handcuffing techniques, things of that nature. And I thought, wow, that just boggled my mind that there's no type of continuous training program. So I changed my program entirely at that point in time because, you know, at that point in time, I was putting together this high-end, fine motor skill type of program. And I'm thinking, that's only for people that are trained and trained a lot. For people that are not trained, I went to gross motor skills, major motor skills, and I had a full run out of the ballpark with it. Yeah, but the ironic part is, I always tell people, I teach much higher to, say, average wrestling, teach higher to mixed martial arts, submission grapplers, than what I teach to law enforcement. But for the retention-wise, oh, they'll remember my program, and they say, peace is program, they've got a mentor.
Wow. Well, Dan, you also taught submission grappling at Arizona State University. Our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners want to know, when you were teaching the submission grappling at Arizona State University, was part of the perks that Arizona State gave you a free bowl of soup at the ASU dining hall?
I like that. But I hate to say this, no. I had to approach them in a very much of a business manner to show that I could bring value to them, and even that a certain percentage of the proceeds would go to the Arizona State wrestling program. The same building that houses the Arizona State wrestling team was provided by a major supporter of Sunkist Wrestling as well. And all that, you know, Sunkist Wrestling basically about most or less your international style, freestyle grapple movement. A wonderful man by the name of Arthur Torrey was, he was one of the gentlemen that's probably most instrumental in securing me to actually come to Arizona State. And I'll just say that, you know, it was still a business that came together. So there was no perks to it whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Wow. It would have been nice if you did get that bowl of soup. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it would have been. It would have been.
All right. Well, Dan, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, and sometimes we also call it Fast Answers, Slow Questions. You are given a choice between two subject matters. Say like you're on a psychiatrist's couch, and they give you a choice between red or blue. You pick the first thing that comes to your mind, our first choice in rapid succession. Are you ready to play this game?
Oh, okay. I thought that was the first question, but I choose red or blue, and I guess take it blue. I guess I'm ready.
Okay. Keep in mind, this is a choice between two subject matters. The first one, Field Marshal Eric Rommel or U-Boat Submarine Captain Gunther Prinn?
I just passed it a bit, and I kind of, please say the question again.
Okay. Field Marshal Eric Rommel or U-Boat Submarine Captain Gunther Prinn?
Well, I don't know what the question is. Oh, between the two? Well, okay. Yeah. Rommel,
okay, very good. All right.
Okay.
Quentin Rampage Jackson or Dan Gable?
Dan Gable.
Okay. Polish Sausage or Nathan Hot Dog?
Polish Sausage.
All right. Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris. Well, Chucky, baby. He's got that whiskers. He's got some great one-liners that come off of the whiskers of the Chuckster.
Oh, okay. All right. Ken Shamrock or Herman Munster?
Herman Munster, all the way.
Oh, okay. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Wine, okay. Ronda Rousey or Hillary Clinton?
Rousey.
Okay. Clint Eastwood or Charles Bronson?
Clint Eastwood. Although, that actually was a hard choice because I love Charles Bronson movies way back when, and I've always been a fan of Clint Eastwood as well.
Oh, okay. I'll call that a tie. Okay. All right. Lou Ferrigno or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That's Arnold.
Okay. The Jeffersons or The Simpsons?
The Simpsons.
All right. Brook Trout Almondine or pan-seared Chilean sea bass?
Okay. Had to slow that one down again, but please repeat that one.
Okay. Brook Trout Almondine or pan-seared Chilean sea bass?
Let's look at the seared sea bass.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't quite hear what you're talking about. We're talking about the fish here right now. Okay.
Okay. All right. Captain Lou Albano or Lou Bannock?
Well, I don't know. Captain Lou was very entertaining to me with his rubber bands and his whiskers. So I'll go with Captain Lou.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay.
I know you was talking about the amateur wrestler, but the thing was, Captain Lou was doing that junior high period of time where I did see a lot of his stuff.
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. All right, Ferris wheel or roller coaster?
Roller coaster.
Okay. David Tank Abbott singing Beth by Kiss or Oleg Taktarov singing Muskrat Love by Captain Antoniel?
You know, I think I'll go with Oleg. I think that'd be a little bit more entertaining.
Oh, okay. All right. Jimmy Jacobs on the animated cartoon American Dad having an affair with Francine or Owen Hart on The Simpsons having an affair with Marge?
Oh, my. Well, you know, I've always been a fan of always. I'd have to go with that. I'd go with number two.
Oh, okay. Owen Hart and an affair with Marge, okay.
Yeah, with Marge, you bet. It's the hair
right.
Thing, I think. Would like to see Marge get her hair messed up.
Yes, the blue hair, yes. Okay.
Well, he always had that. He had the blue blazer outfit. Come on now. It's a match made in heaven.
Yes, that would be.
You got to see where the divide of the beast works.
Oh,
blue right there. The blue hair, the blue blazer suit.
Oh, the blue pursuit, yes. Okay.
Yeah, the blue blazer costume.
Yes. Well, okay. All right, how about Vince McMahon getting the stink face by the Big Show or Goldust offering Booker T a bite of his weenie at 7-Eleven.
Well, I'll go with number one. Steak face on this. How's that?
Okay, very good. That'll
just be a nice fan favorite. That's all. I remember when that actually did happen to him in the, I think it was part of that Kiss My Ass Club routine.
Yes.
And I think it was Rikishi where I actually don't even think you didn't even see Vince's head at all. It got buried so far in between those cheeks.
Yes, well, now come to think of it, it may have been Vince McMahon that had to kiss Big Show's ass and he got a stink face from Rikishi. I have to do some research into that. Yes. All right, well, that concludes our Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. You did very well, Dan, very well.
Okay, all right. Well, that's too bad for a senior citizen, is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, I was very intrigued by your choice of Brook Trout Almondine over the pan-seared Chilean sea bass. Very interesting.
Well, you know, I don't think I've really had either or, but, you know, I've enjoyed both trout and bass, but I'm thinking, well, you know, and that's sort of a few of the things that you're thrown in. I kind of really pay attention as I drive down the road here to make sure I hear everything that I possibly can.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Dan, you held the game or Great American Mat Endeavors Championship belt one time. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who you defeated to become game champion?
Okay. Hey, I always hate to say this, but what belt was that again?
That was the, you held the game or Great American Mat Endeavors Championship belt one time.
I did?
Yes.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, all right.
I can't believe it, Sonny. We have a guy that has won so many championships that he has maybe forgot about this. Maybe.
No. Honestly, gentlemen, let me just try this out for size. I probably have been inducted into, I'll bet, 20 or more Hall of Fames. I have 20 or more belts. If you actually went into my training facility in Fort Wayne, Michigan, it started to look more and more like a museum of artifacts that, I mean, I didn't even put up, other people have put up for me because they're like, it's a shame that all these things are sitting in boxes. Like each time I go away, I keep wondering what else are they going to get into and they put up at my place. But it's, if you start looking around and you realize how many decades I have been going and not just one aspect. You know, to be honest, okay, professional wrestling, you should be able to last a long time in that, but at the same token, though you're not, I always tell people I've been hurt far worse in my professional wrestling career than I've been in all my cage fights alone, but then also I've been hurt probably worse in my amateur wrestling career than the other two. So I always tell people, out of the three industries, wrestling, amateur wrestling, professional wrestling, and cage fighting was the safest thing I ever got into. And that's almost like the contradiction of terms. I know that that was a little bit off from what you were talking about, you know, about stuff like that, but it's, I've got belts, trophies, plaques, medals that I bet it ranges in the 1,000-plus range easily.
Holy smokes, that's amazing. Holy smokes.
And now, if you think of, okay, and you think of that, and again, I know that is a conservative figure. That's not even embellishment. That's a conservative figure. And if you figure that each one of those probably represents a minimum of, I don't think, let's say three matches. And that is, again, a very conservative figure. That's all it matches.
Wow. Okay. Well, I was, you see, when I asked you that question, I was thinking more in line of my one track medal back in 1978.
Well, yeah, but I do have stuff as ironic as I did win the Marshall's Blueberry Pie Eating Contest, so I do have a ribbon. So doing something as obscure as a pie eating contest.
Wow. Oh, very good.
So,
okay.
So there, you know, it's probably right there with all those other awards. It might be right next to the Hall of Fame glass of the UFC.
Wow. All right. Okay, well, Dan, do you have a name for your 10,000-foot training facility on your property in Michigan? And
yeah.
If not, will you give Turnbuckle Turmoil permission to run a contest called Give a Cool Name to Dan Severn's Training Facility?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't mind that. If I'm still going to say, let's run this contest. Maybe come up with a nickname for it, but I have had a name for it all along. It's specifically known as Michigan Sports Camps. I mean, it is located in Michigan. And I kept it plural so that I run multiple things. I didn't want it just to be known as an amateur wrestling or a professional wrestling or a mixed martial arts or no holds barred. As long as I have an instructor that can teach things, you know, I have multiple rooms in there. So there could actually be four different classes running simultaneously with probably about 20 to 30 students safely. And you would never know that the other class exists. But on top of that, having a mess hall, like in Philadelphia, I have a mess hall, commercial kitchen, and then I have a couple of dormitories, small dormitories, where I can house up to 18 people in each dormitory. So I have a very unique setup.
Oh, wow, okay. All right, then Sunday and I will put off that contest. We'll okay. All right. Well, Dan, you have proven to be a very successful businessman and lecturer while conducting many seminars, all the while raising five children. My question is, have you often been compared to Gene Simmons of KISS, who has licensed KISS coffee houses, a KISS golf course, a line of KISS caskets to be buried in, and his own line of bass guitars called the Punisher? Are you as prolific as Gene Simmons of KISS? Have you heard that comparison?
No, I've never had that comparison, but it's something that I'll still say that I am still on the hunt. I'm still I still could use a lot more business savvy and things of that nature, because it's not easy being kind of like for the most part, being a one-man type operation. I do need to bring out a few more IT type sales, but individuals. But, trusting people is not, I don't have a lot of faith in people. It's just one of the.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dan, I saw your Monday Night Raw match on April 6, 1998 against Flash Funk when you were escorted to the ring by manager Jim Cornette with Jim Ross as a co-announcer. Are there any truth to the rumors that after you made Flash Funk tap out to a hyperextension armbar, that Flash Funk became despondent, quit wrestling, and became a backup dancer in Casey and the Sunshine Band's final tour?
How did you keep a straight face on that one now, huh? I sure hope that wasn't that any of that was true for me. Otherwise, I will feel really bad. Well, maybe not. But, you know, it's at least comical to hear that. So,
well,
along those same type of scenario is that I'll say that even when I'm teaching my law enforcement class, I am the oldest person in there by at least a decade. And the sad part is the amount of breaks I have to take because of the sad shape that most of my participants are in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
boy.
But gentlemen, but that is primarily because the lack of standards anymore inside the United States. We no longer have standards. For almost anything do we have standards. And it's there was a point that law enforcement-wise, you had to be a certain height, maintain a certain weight. Those days are gone. We continue to lower the bar again and again and again, and I just wait to the point that I'm just waiting for the time that that basically, you know, when are we going to just throw the bar down on the ground and step on it?
Boy, I hope that time doesn't come.
Yeah, well, I think it's here already. It's been here for a while. I get it. I have no future in politics. I'll be the first one to say that because I don't, you know, my state of facility, I do have standards. In my law enforcement class, I have standards. I have failed students. And I even had some of the captains come up to me like, well, why did so-and-so get their certificate upon completion? I go, well, because they failed. And they're like, what? Well, they failed. I go, they were able to complete. They're unable to do this. They're unable to do that. They go, and they're like, well, this has never happened. I go, well, it should. It should have happened. Behind, I go, and they're like, well, but I go, that's finding that goes on. Maybe your other companies, they don't care. I do care. I go, what you don't understand, I said, I am not really from your world. In my world, I get to do this thing called a tap out. If I'm having a real bad day on the job, I get to simply tap out, and Mr. Referee steps in there and bashes over. I go, your tap out and your industry could cost you your life. I go, I take that seriously. You may not take that seriously. I do. And so that's when I work with law enforcement, military, corrections. Oh, I'm brutal to these guys because it's their life that's at risk. I tend to go off on different tangents, but there's so many things wrong inside the United States. There's no other country I'd really want to live in, but it's the way that we continue to let our standards slide again and again. That just sooner or later, you know, something's got to step up to the plate. Well, I don't look at it this way. You know, my training facility represents my property, represents my country. For example, I have a youth class.
Oh, yeah. Well,
in my class, I have standards, I have standards when I teach a youth class, for example. It's a mixture of traditional martial arts and then with more modern physical education that classes. The kids today are so bad. I didn't do anything physically. They're just so bad. That most kids, they don't know how to do forward rolls, back rolls, cartwheels. Most kids nowadays have never even stood on their head, but give them a laptop. Give them a computer. Give them your cell phone. They'll play video games, and they can do all kinds of cool stuff by pushing this button, swinging this toggle switch around, but they can't physically do it themselves. So, you know, just to go back to, you know, When I simply just start my kids' class, I just like my partner, line up, okay, line up, attention, they bow in, they turn to their right, I turn to my left, and we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And one of the first criteria that they have to do is, on their own, as an individual, they have to stand there and recite the Pledge of Allegiance all by themselves.
Wow,
and I have
that's
more parents, and I have more parents who say, well, gosh, we can't do that in our schools. I go, I'm ashamed of our schools for allowing that to be dropped in the first place. There's a lot of things that I take no pride in that's happened in this country, but it's kind of like going, I can't stop the idiots, but I can make my stand where I want to. And that's what I do. I make my stand where I can. And my stand is, it's my property. It's my state facility. I have the right to deny service to you. I allow you to come into my facility, or I can ask you to leave. And I like that.
Well, I think I would like to visit your training facility one day, but before I do that, I am going to make it my own mission, my Turnbuckle Turmoil mission, to fly to Arizona State University and give you an honorary bowl of soup. Yes.
Well, make sure this is a vegetable and beef soup. That would be a great combination. Or even chicken. I'll accept chicken as well.
Oh, chicken, okay. Or veggie beef, okay. All right, well, Dan, it was good talking with you. I'm going to turn it back over to my co-host, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Seven, we're coming up on the end of the program today, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you have, upcoming appearances, your book, website, social media, your favorite oatmeal cookie recipe, anything at all. Floor is all yours.
Okay. Well, I guess my website is simply my name, danseverd.com. S-E, be like Victor, E-R-N, like Nancy. danseverd.com. On there is listed all my social media outlets. As we discussed earlier, upcoming on October 29th, there will be a mixed martial arts show taking place down in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a new rule is being implemented that will change the face of mixed martial arts forever. I'm very honored and pleased that the CSI Commission is allowing me to do this, and even when I was talking about that, they looked at me and go, you know what this is going to do? I go, yes, I do. And they're like, oh, we're honored that you chose our state. So, I tell people, if you want to show up and watch it, that's one thing. You can also watch it at internet pay-per-view. Just jump on my Facebook. You'll see all the connections. I just go to my website, all the, how to go to my Facebook page. I've got five different Facebook pages that you can go to, and it's advertised on all five of those, and to where whether you come to it live, to where you can buy the tickets at, or if you want to watch it at the internet pay-per-view, to go and watch it on the internet pay-per-view as well. So I think just by just promoting my website, that's about all that I really need to promote. And then I'll just say I'm going to continue moving on with my life, even though I may not be stepping in a cage anymore. I still do that periodic professional wrestling match as my schedule permits. And everything else is seminars and teaching is like what I do a great deal. And I'm working on the next generation of mixed martial artists, professional wrestlers, submission grapplers. And out of Coal Michigan, I actually hope to have both a pro team, an amateur level team for MMA, but then also a submission grappler. I hope to have a pro team and an amateur team along with some world-class wrestlers. So my place is referred to on many occasions as the House of Champs, and I plan on continuing the same tradition for a number of years to come.
Well, Mr. Severin, it's been our great pleasure to have you back on the program today. We appreciate your time greatly. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, and I want to wish you the best of luck with the upcoming show on the 29th there in Fort Wayne.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Touch base with me afterwards, and I'll let you know how that has gone. But Sun Guy and QT, I appreciate you gentlemen for having me out again.
Oh. Well, thank you, Dan.
All right, fans, we will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. We will be having the Mighty Maccabee join us on Sunday. Should be an outstanding time. And then next Friday afternoon, Moondog Max out of the great state of Maine will be with us. So make plans to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.